You ready? Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Old Testament lesson for Sunday, Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 9. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore I will not be disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. This is our text. The prophet Isaiah is called the fifth evangelist of the Bible, and that's because he has been given so many beautiful prophecies, songs about the coming Messiah. A good portion is found in chapters 40 to 66 of his book. They are called the servant songs. Jesus is identified as the servant of the Lord. And that might seem a little bit obscure for us, since we have to put together the title and name servant with this person that we call the Lord. But if we take a moment, perhaps, it will make sense to us, especially as we put this Old Testament text for this coming Palm Sunday together with Philippians 2, the epistle lesson. That text from Philippians 2 begins by saying, "Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant." And that's because the servants of the Lord, among those who have been born of women, among them there was not found on this earth a faithful servant, not one. They all stand condemned. So the Lord Jesus came to take up the law and fulfill it for us, a perfect servant who also humbled himself even to the point of death. He says in Isaiah 53 and in Philippians 2, paying, as Isaiah said, our debt. This one is the servant of the Lord, who comes to fulfill God's work of saving us from sin, death, and the devil. That's the service he offers. And in some ways, we can see that that's partially our service. Not to save, but to point others to this one who came to save. To point others to the work of this one faithful servant. The servant of a Lord who comes to serve God. The Lord makes clear that this one who comes to serve God will not seem like anyone special. He says that. He was despised. People looked at him and didn't see anything useful in what he had to offer. They were very surprised when he did the miracles he did. They wondered at his words when he taught as one who had extensive education and yet he had been a carpenter. But what the people of Israel expected was somebody who perhaps might wave a wand, create some miraculous event and cast out the Romans and settle them in this land that they believed was theirs. And yet, what we find in this person is, this one is one who speaks and listens. That doesn't sound so spectacular. It sounds so much like what we have learned the life of a Christian to be. One of listening and speaking. One of hearing and confessing. Think about it for a moment. When you read those words from Isaiah, ask yourself, can this be the servant of the Lord speaking, listening? And then the prophet says, he awakens me. It seems so mundane, so lowly and humble. But the servant of the Lord is the one who has humbled himself. He has taken on human flesh, having left the right hand of God to take up our life for 30 years. And that life is nothing more than waking, listening, speaking, confessing. And it is through this conversation and confession that we live and carry on our calling here on earth. He doesn't appear to be something special because he has come to take our place, to live and to die for us, to faithfully carry out what we should have done and to pay for what we have done. The servant comes and carries on day to day, year to year for 33 years, humble and lowly. He confesses his dependence on God. That's what a man would do. How different from those in our world who claim that they are the ones who self-create, who sustain themselves, who are the masters of their own destiny. But this one confesses what those who wear flesh, who were knit together in their mother's wombs, should confess. You opened my ear. I can now hear your word. I listen and I speak. You define what is true and real. And I confess it. I speak it in front of your brothers, or my brothers in the synagogue. I speak it in the marketplace, by a lake, on a boat. I speak and I listen. The Lord opened my ear and I did not rebel against the word, he says. How different from each one of us who, when we hear the law, rebel. Paul says in Romans 7 that when we hear the law telling us not to do something, our old sinful nature produces all manner of sin like that. But the Lord opened his ear and he did not rebel against the word. He received the living word of God in faith and love. Unlike all those who are born in the flesh, when God's love is proclaimed, when the law is proclaimed, they rebel against it. I came and my life is one of love. Not only did he hear the word, but he lived it every moment of every day for us. One given for those who hate him, who hate his father. A life of love. It seems so mundane. So lowly. That's exactly what we needed. Someone to take our place. To live our life. I have come to do his will. And I will suffer. For doing it. I did not reject the way of suffering and humiliation. How difficult to walk in this world. How difficult to be tempted in every way like we are tempted. How difficult not to strike back, not to respond in kind, not to respond with sin. When you have done nothing wrong, when you have never sinned, and yet you give your back, you give your beard, you give your face to those who hate you, so that you might save them, rescue them, from sin, death, and the devil. Even while he did not respond except in love, even while he was willing to suffer for the sake of those who despise and hate God, he did not give up. He did not give in. He did not compromise. He was tempted to do that early on, but he gave his back, his beard, his face, his whole body over to those who hated him so that he might save them. He says in the text, I depended on my Father who strengthened and sustained me by his word. That's how you and I are sustained and strengthened in the midst of this fallen world, in the midst of this pestilence. We are tempted to despise the word, especially when there is trouble, when it doesn't seem like anything spectacular is going to come and rescue us. This mundane walking and listening and waking and speaking seems so, so tiresome. But the Lord listened and was strengthened by the words that he heard. He grew in stature and honor and wisdom. He was strengthened to walk the course of humiliation and death, so that those who spit out hatred and tore out his beard and split open his back can be saved. The centurion would confess as he hung on the cross. When the centurion quotes, and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. This one is telling us what the battle is and what it is like for the one who is carrying it out. That's what those words from Isaiah 50 are speaking about. The battle is being waged on our behalf, and this one invites the battle. Who is my adversary? Let him come near. That's what he said. That's what he came to fight. A battle that you couldn't win, that I couldn't win. Taunting the devil and all of those through whom he speaks, who would mock him on the cross, taunting them to come near, to be his adversary. For this humble and lowly servant would go through this battle to pay our debt for our sins, and he will not fail to overcome our enemies of sin, death, and the devil. The Father enabled this work to be accomplished. This one, he comes to serve the Father who sent him to be our Savior. This one, this Jesus, comes willingly to do what his name says, to save, to willingly do what we cannot do, so that we can be saved. And in times like this, our lives of faith, faithfulness, and love seem quite insignificant, seem quite weak, less than spectacular. We're looking for someone like a superhero. But the great love of God at a time like this saves and sustains us. At times like this, a humble, lowly servant, the servant of the Lord, will accomplish all that we need. Even as he did then, so will he do it now and even forevermore. Amen.